This broadcast is sponsored by His Way Out Ministries with our home base of ministry operation in Bakersfield, California. For more information about His Way Out Ministries, please visit HisWayOut.com.
Welcome to the His Way Out Ministries broadcast with Pastor Philip Lee. A friend says to you, "Once gay, always gay." How do you respond? "My child just told me he's gay. What can I do?" What causes same-sex attraction? Can a Christian be gay? If I disagree with homosexual practice, am I intolerant and homophobic? Is change possible for the homosexual? How should the church be responding? His Way Out Ministries is dedicated to raising awareness, educating, encouraging, and equipping the body of Christ to minister to men, women, and their families with the unwanted brokenness of same-sex attraction. We believe restoration is possible and available through a personal relationship with Jesus Christ and the healing power of the Holy Spirit. Christ Jesus is calling His church to meet the need of the hour. The question is, will we be prepared? And now, here's Pastor Philip Lee.
Welcome, and thanks so much for tuning in. I certainly hope you had an opportunity to join me last week with my special guest, Pastor Brandon Holthouse, who is the senior pastor of Rock Harbor Church. We turned our attention to talking about the church and same-sex attraction, and we covered a lot of territory, but we ran out of time very, very quickly. So Pastor Brandon is back with me again for this broadcast. Welcome back, sir.
Hey, thank you for having me back.
We're going to jump right back into the deep again.
You betcha. Let's go for it.
You and I know that homosexuality is a classic hot-button issue.
Yeah.
But our partnership between Rock Harbor Church and His Way Out Ministries, we are holding to the truth, biblical truth,
amen,
that this is a particular behavior, not unlike many others,
yeah,
that God says no man or woman is to practice. That, we believe, is crystal clear in Scripture.
Right.
That said, we have an abundance of individuals today that are challenging that truth and our stance. A number of churches and even some prominent Christian leaders have minimized the concept of biblical truth, especially as it relates to homosexuality. It really does seem today, on this subject matter, many are cherry-picking the gospel.
Yes.
Where have I heard that before? I think it was from someone. Oh, it was you.
Yeah, I use that phrase a lot. Yeah, they cherry-pick the parts they want in the Bible, and they don't address the other issues that deal with these particular issues. And it's on purpose, Philip. I hate to tell people that, but I'm in the ministry, been in it for 23, 24 years now. Dude, I've seen it all. I know what these pastors are up to. I know what these churches are up to. They're cherry-picking intentionally to avoid the subject matter because they don't want to deal with the subject matter because in their eyes, it's too controversial. It'll make people feel upset. But that's our job, is to teach the whole counsel of God. And what we're really talking about in all of this, Philip, and we talked about this off air, it comes back to the lie that Satan said to Adam and Eve in the garden. Did God really say this? And then the questioning of his authority, what his standards, his reality is, and then verses, but he knows he's holding back on you, basically, because he knows if you know this, you'll become like him. And he doesn't really want you becoming like him, knowing good and evil. And what he was tempting him to say is, look, man, you guys just need to go out on your own and become your own authority to judge what is moral and immoral. You make the decision and you become like God. That's what's happening, Philip. It's the old lie. And now we have pastors, churches, and people who practice sin saying, I think this is right in my own eyes, and I will be the moral arbitrator of that and not God.
It's much easier just to go with the flow than it is just to take a stand for holiness and righteousness.
Yeah, you know, the funny thing on the stats on that, let me show you the stats where people can understand. And this has been done by studying cults and studying mass psychosis movements like what you see in Nazi Germany or the pogroms in Russia. What they have discovered is that whatever lie comes out, 30% of the people will believe the lie unquestioning. Okay, just statistically given, okay? Whatever the lie is from the government or the lie from the society, okay? 65% of people will simply go along with the lie, even though they know the lie is a lie. they'll go along with it because they don't want to face opposition against the 30%. Okay? So what does that leave? It leaves us with about 5% of the population will always, hands down, be part of the population that doesn't believe the lie and speaks the truth and tries to bring the culture back. Everywhere you look in history, that stat is alive. So, Philip, you are part of the 5%. The people listening that take a stand are part of the 5%. But unfortunately, what does that mean? The rest of culture and the rest of the church will be part of the 95% that just go along.
In the last broadcast, we largely turned our attention to talking about the Born That Way theory,
yes,
which again has nothing, has never been anything more than a theory, because to date, even after many, many years and numerous scientists setting out to prove that homosexuality was inborn, today, we still do not have one single conclusive study proving homosexuality is genetic.
That's
and
right.
I still believe, and I will hold to, we're talking about an acquired behavior, and any acquired behavior can become unacquired. But it takes a deep, genuine, personal, intimate relationship with Christ.
Yeah.
I don't know of any other way out of this form of brokenness, a host of other habits, addictions, and compulsive behaviors, other than through Christ.
Amen. And the key in that, because people will say, well, I can practice this and love Christ and be a Christian. Here's the key, though. Christ demands that if you're going to make him the priority in your life, that he's going to be on top of your game, of everything, the way you prioritize him is through sacrifice. And sacrifice is the name of the game. Now, what am I talking about? We get salvation because of Christ's sacrifice. But what I'm talking about is discipleship sacrifice. I must be willing to give up the most precious thing I value in order to make Christ number one in my life. If I am not willing to give up that practice, that behavior, that sin, that idol, whatever it might be, then you can't make Christ number one. And that's where people struggle. You must be willing to sacrifice. Well, what am I sacrificing, Brandon? Well, whatever is holding you back. But the big thing that Jesus said is, your life is the most precious thing to you, and your desire to rule your life and call your own shots must be sacrifice to me.
And we do not tell God what sacrifice is. He tells us.
He tells us. And so this is why. What does it profit to gain the whole world and yet lose your soul? And the idea is, why would you want to be the captain of your ship, be a god unto yourself, because you will lose your life in doing that. You will die. But he says, if you sacrifice that life to me, I submit my life to you. You tell me how you want me to behave in a sacrificial way, and then I will do it. That gives you life. And that's the fundamental understanding of how people change. It's a process. That's what we're trying to get out. That's what you're trying to get out. But people, unfortunately, don't want to hear that. They don't want to do the sacrificing necessary.
Dying to self is often messy.
It is.
It is a process. These issues in our lives are not resolved overnight. It takes time.
That's right.
But especially here in America, we have become completely impatient with anything that takes time. We even want our deliverance microwaved.
That's right. It's the McDonald's fast food type mentality. And spirituality is like growing a seed. That's why the Bible pictures a harvest that you, in the springtime, you plant the seed, then you water it, and you let it go through summer, and then you have harvest time. Why does God picture that in our growth? Because it does take time. There's a process. There's things and steps you need to take. So the road to recovery, it's a process. It's not an overnight thing. Does God do miracles? Of course he does. But it's like 1% in which someone's totally free of their same-sex attraction or whatever their proclivity is. Usually it's a process.
Yes. You start talking about process, you're talking about an element of time.
That's right.
When I have the opportunity to sit across from especially young men and young ladies struggling with same-sex attraction, and I share, yes, change is possible because God says so.
That's right.
I guarantee you the very next question out of their mouth normally is this: how long is this going to take?
Yeah.
And I can't answer that because that's a sovereign right between the individual and God.
Mm-hmm. It is.
But he honors his word.
He does. And so therein lies where the hope is. And that's why we want to tell people that, you know, you have family members that are struggling with this or whatever. There is hope. There is hope for change. But understand this: God gives us all free will. And we can choose to whether we're going to submit to his authority or not. And that's a free will decision that everyone has to make. We pray that people will do that because that will give them life.
Speaking of hope, here's a good question for you. How can we possibly expect our culture to be impacted if God's truth is being avoided, minimized, and or revised?
I know.
Where's the hope in that?
Yeah, it's tough. What we do see is a concerted effort to silence the truth. Okay, and this we go back to Romans 1. We talk about that when a culture, a society, even the church decides to worship the creation rather than the creator. And really, what do you mean, Brandon? Worship the creation? I'm not out there worshiping a rock. No. It's the society's worship of mankind and his ideas and his authority, man's authority, or scientism or whatever it is. When a culture does that, the Bible says that they will suppress the truth down. And what that means is they hold it back. They cover it up. They don't want it mentioned. They silence you. They tell Philip, don't say anything. You need to keep your mouth shut. And so you have the suppression of truth. Okay, what does that generate in a society when suppression of truth is happening? Well, what we start seeing is people will lose their minds. That's what Paul's talking about. They will not be able to think straight. Their hearts become darkened. So morally speaking, they won't act morally anymore. So people lose their minds. They do idiotic things. In fact, it's where in the Greek it uses the word moron, where we get the word moron. That when you suppress the truth, you actually become moronic, is what he's saying. And so obviously when we see the whole transgender thing, the drag, that's moronic. It's crazy. But yeah, but that's the point of that. Okay, so what happens when society's got like that? Because it is now. Well, it takes the remnant, and this is what I make sure that everyone out there is listening, that you're part of the remnant, the believing core that's willing to shine the light on the evil. Light has come into darkness, but men love darkness rather than light, for their deeds are evil. And for fear that those deeds will be exposed is why he said the verdict has been rendered. Therefore, based on that passage, my job is to shine the light on those evil works. So what we need for people to do is be part of that 5% that says, I'm going to shine the light. I'm going to start saying stuff. And where do you start? Well, you start with your family. You start with your immediate family, extended family. Then you start with your community. Then you start with people around you, even that call themselves Christians. And you just broaden out there. We're not asking you to go Washington, D.C. Start with your zone that God has you in. And that's how it happens. And you shine that light.
Luke 6:45 tells us that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak. I do not understand Christians that are not regularly, frequently sharing their faith of what Christ has done in their life, more importantly, who he is.
Yeah.
I don't know how people hold that in. I can't, because I know what he has done in my life. For me to deny what Christ has done in my life would be the equivalent of denying him. That's not going to happen.
Right. Amen.
But we're in a time, we're in a culture today, and we've talked about this on the other broadcast. Today, on this subject matter and a host of others, just say, let there be light.
Yeah.
And boy, I tell you what, the fight's on.
Yeah. So here's to that point that you just made, an excellent point, and the Lord dealt with this. John, the Gospel of John, chapter 12, I think it's in verse 42, 43, 44, somewhere in that neighborhood, going off the top of my head. It says this, that many of the Pharisees actually believed in him, it says.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But refused to confess him publicly for fear of being put out of the synagogue. That answers that question of why so many people are silent. Many people they believe in Jesus, but they will not confess him. Now, in order to confess him, what does it mean? It's not only just you saying you're a believer. You have to confess his teachings. You have to confess his law, his principles, all of that, everything that he taught. You just can't say, I'm a Christian and I love Jesus. You can't divorce Messiah from his teachings.
True.
And that's what they do. Okay, so here's what's happening. The Pharisees knew he was the Messiah, so they accepted him, but they didn't want to be put out of the synagogue. Well, what does this mean for us now? Being put out of the synagogue in the first century means no one is going to deal with you in business. Your family's going to cut you off. You can't come to synagogue, so you're not part of the Jewish community anymore. You are ostracized. You have a scarlet letter on you, and no one's going to deal with you anymore. You're cut off. Okay. They'll bridge that to today. That's the same thing. And when Christians stand up, they get the same pushback from society. Well, then you're not a functioning member of society. This is not our values. This is it. You're hateful. You're mean. And they don't want that. So they do what the Pharisees did. They secretly believe in Jesus, but will not publicly confess him. Now, let me add one more thing. This goes to the shame of the Messiah. When he says, take up your cross daily, that is a Jewish idiom that means you must bear the shame of rejection by the society, just like I have. And in order to identify with Jesus, you must carry that shame with you. And therein lies why they won't carry the shame.
If I am not carrying my cross daily and crucifying my flesh, how can I possibly say it is Christ Jesus I am following?
You can't. You're a secret believer. And that's what we have, a silent group of believers in the church that are doing nothing, saying nothing, for fear of identifying publicly with Jesus. That's what it comes down to. And you have broken through that barrier. You publicly identify him because why? You give the teachings out of what he said on sexuality. That's publicly identifying. So what happens? You get shame from the culture. Not from Jesus, but you get shame from the culture. But you're the model that everyone listening to should listen to and emulate. This is what comes with it. This is the shame. And the great thing about it, you're going to be rewarded for it.
There's great responsibility.
It is.
And great privilege to think that we partner with God to reach wounded, broken,
That's
hurting
right.
humanity. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's power in our testimony, but ultimately, it has to be the authority of Scripture.
Amen. That's where it always comes back to. And so, here's the thing. Responsibility is a big deal. And here's what you find out with most human beings, not just Christians as well. Most human beings do not want to bear more responsibility. So, here's your ministry. You're going to have a hard time finding someone to replace you, Philip, because they don't want the responsibility of that you have. It is weighty. It is heavy. But this is the responsibility in which God wants all of us to take on. Take on this responsibility to be light in the darkness. But you're right. People want the titles, but they don't want the responsibility. And that's what stops a lot of them.
Let's jump to another point, that you and I have discussed many, many times, often over lunch.
Yeah.
And that is the reality that back in June of 2015, when America legalized same-sex marriage throughout the nation, the lid on Pandora's box came flying off.
Oh, wow.
And we have been in a downward spiral ever since.
Oh, man.
My head absolutely spun. I had literally friends in ministry, Christians calling me saying, well, now, Philip, they can get married. Maybe it's not so bad after all. I'm going, wait a minute. Culture's changed. God has not.
Yeah.
So what I have witnessed since June 2015, and I continue to see today, are three things. The denigration of biblical authority. We have all but lost a coherent definition of family. Mm-hmm. And we have seen and we continue to see the exploitation of children.
Yeah,
those three areas alone should cause every Christian, every dedicated, faithful follower of Christ to rise up and say, not on my watch. Mm-hmm. Stand up for the truth. Now, it comes at a cost, but my gosh, there's so much at stake here.
Yeah, and I think let's go back to the concept of the Pandora's box being opened, because that reveals the nature of sin in which people and in the church didn't take seriously. The nature of sin is it's like leaven being introduced into a loaf. And the idea of that leaven is it will permeate the entire loaf if you let it, if you don't get the leaven out. Okay, so when Pandora's box was opened on gay marriage, people said the same thing. Well, what do you care, Brandon? What's going on behind closed doors? It's just two consensual adults doing whatever they want to do. It's because sin doesn't stay behind closed doors. It permeates all through society. And so, what you warned and what I warned, I said, watch. If they allow gay marriage, it's going to lead to pedophilia. Because the pedophilers have the same argument as they do.
Yes.
And they're going to say, I was born this way. And now we have people today saying, I'm a minor attracted person and I was born this way. So they're using the same logic as the LGBT movement. Okay. And now here we are. We're now moving into legalizing possibly pedophilia and reducing the age of consent for sexual relations between adult and a child. That is where we're at. But it's because Pandora's box was open. So the point that I think we need to make to the audience is this. You have to understand the nature of sin, that if you allow something in a society, it will go through and go further than what you thought it would go. It will take you all the way. And there's an old thing by Adrian Rogers. Sin will take you farther than you wanted to go. It will make you pay more than you wanted to pay. And it will keep you longer than you wanted to stay. And that's what we're seeing now. And we're now having to deal with the reality of pedophilia now going to be legalized.
We know what we're facing. And before we run out of time, I want to segue to what can we do to see things improve?
Yeah.
Well, I first and foremost believe pray like we've never prayed before.
Amen.
Prayer is a foundation for success, whatever we're trying to do, whatever endeavor we're doing for God to further his kingdom. Pray like we never prayed before. But we also need to get educated.
Yeah.
Most of the church today is still not educated on the subject matter.
That's right.
I'm so grateful, again, for the ministry partnership between Rock Harbor Church and His Way Out Ministries, because on the second Saturday of each month, we offer a class/care group/teachings, if you will, called Straight Talk. And it's available to men and women with unwanted same-sex attraction. It's available to parents with gay-identified children. It's available to Christians who want to come and learn to be better equipped to offer a Christ-like response to what's going on this subject matter around the world.
Amen.
That's available.
Yes.
We need to stand up and let our voices be heard more.
Mm-hmm.
And you were recently preaching on this about the call.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I looked at the call of Abraham, and I tried to relate it to all of us. Look, we all have a call that God wants us to do. Philip, you have your call. I have my call. And each single believer has their own unique call. Yes, the general call is to discipleship. But here's the thing. What is God asking you to do in this time period that we're in to stand up for the truth? What is it? What issue is it? Maybe it's being against abortion and the slaughtering of babies in a womb. Maybe it's this particular issue, the LGBT issue or the transgender issue. Or maybe it's something else. I don't know. But God's going to call you uniquely to something, and here's what you got to do. You just got to go and do it. You got to just have enough courage to step out in faith. And the big thing will be is take on more responsibility for the truth, to be a truth giver, to be a light shiner, which brings heavy, heavy opposition to you. And if you're willing to take that on, that's how it starts.
Yes, I agree. So we need to pray. We need to get educated. We need to let our voice be heard. And make sure that our brand of Christianity has something great to offer.
Yeah.
We offer hope in Christ.
That's right.
We can never, ever say that we are without hope, because to make that statement to say Jesus isn't alive, and he's very much alive.
Yeah.
We also, I believe, need to recommit to biblical authority.
Amen.
Teach the entire Word of God. Again,
yes,
as we've been sharing on this broadcast,
yep,
and others, God has a lot to say in the subject matter. He has not been silent. There are holy boundary lines that we are to strive to live within. And they're very, very clear lines.
Yeah.
When we step over those lines, when we are rebellious and disobedient, we don't get to choose the vast consequences that may come our way as a result of our disobedience.
That's right.
But God's Word is clear. But we need to recommit to biblical authority.
Amen. And quit worrying about offending people. We want to tell the truth in love and gentleness and kindness, respect. But quit the idea that you're worried about offending somebody, because the truth of God will offend people.
Truth is not always a soothing balm.
No.
It can cut very, very deep.
Yes, sir, can.
Especially on this subject, because people have very strong opinions, feelings, and emotions. I'm always encouraging, especially those who come to our Straight Talk meetings, when you're talking with someone, whether it's a family member, a coworker, someone else in your life, you get on the subject matter, and the very moment it becomes heated, drop it.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you keep arguing and pushing, I guarantee the only thing you're going to do is push that person further the wrong way.
Yes.
So drop it. I mean, there are some very, very basics to this that we can turn our attention to and we need to apply, which is why education, I believe, is key.
Amen. And that's what you're doing, and that's what we're facilitating, because We've got to know the subject. We got to know it backwards and forth. You have to know that there is no such thing as a gay gene. You have to know that, because that's they're going to argue against you on that. So it's a matter of equipping yourself.
Yes. Rock Harbor Church.
Yep.
Three services on Sunday. What time?
8 o'clock, 9:30, and 11. So if you want to visit us, come on over there in the old 24-hour gym right there on Roseville across from Costco.
Also, if you're wanting further information on this whole subject matter, please visit our website, which is hiswayout.com. On our homepage, you'll see the search mode there. You can type in words like youth, family, HIV, AIDS, temptation, all kinds of various words that will bring up a vast, huge library of information for you. Articles, testimonies, educational videos. It's all there. It's our gift to the body of Christ. Share it, download it, pass it on. That's why we have done and supplied this information. Please use it. It's a great, great tool. Pastor Brandon, always a pleasure to have you here.
You betcha.
Always appreciate what you bring to the conversation. Let's close in prayer.
All right, let's pray. Father, we do thank you, Lord, for Philip and his ministry of His Way Out, giving hope to people that change is possible, that through Jesus Christ, change can be provided through His Word, through His tools, and there is hope there. So, Father, continue to bless people out there, help them with their situations as they struggle with this, with family members, and lead them to the path of truth. We pray now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Thanks so much for tuning in this morning. Please join us next Saturday for another His Way Out Ministries broadcast, dedicated to ministering to the body of Christ and the community at large, with the power of testimony, the dialogue of issues, and the truth of Scripture.
This broadcast is sponsored by His Way Out Ministries, with our home base of ministry operation in Bakersfield, California. For more information about His Way Out Ministries, please visit hiswayout.com.